This is Lawyers Who Needs Them on TalkZone.com. Back to your hosts, Jim and Randall.
We are the two swinginest old guys in the country. That's all I could tell you, folks.
Right.
And you're welcome back to Lawyers Who Need Them. I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hartman.
And it's time for questions from our loyal listeners.
And now it's time for the main event.
All right, before my partner blows right out of his clothing here. We're back. Thank you. It's time for questions from our loyal listeners. Professor, do you have your cap on?
I am ready to go.
All right. Watch out for that tassel. It's always in your way.
I know.
All right. John from New York City writes, Dear Jim and Randall, can a mayor create laws that just apply to the city, even though they may be contrary to the state and the federal laws?
Well, first of all, the mayor doesn't create laws. He executes them. He is the executive. People that create laws are the city council and the count, or the common council, as it is called in some cities. But they can create laws, but they cannot be contrary to state and federal laws.
Okay.
Because the city, any city, is simply a branch of the state. So it can't undo the state. The lesser can't undo the greater. Now, the thing is, it has, depending on the extent of the home rule which a particular city might have, and that, of course, depends on the home rule laws of the particular state, that home rule, those home rule provisions would set the guidelines within which the city can legislate and pass ordinances.
It sometimes a mayor will bring up something.
Yeah, well, he can have, he would submit it to the city council, just like the president sends bills to the Congress.
Okay.
And with pictures, because they can't read them, and he does the best he can, and sometimes it doesn't work out.
That's right. If you screw up one of those arrows in those stick-figure pictures, you could be in a lot of trouble.
Right.
Well, hope that helps, John. Tom from Austin, Texas writes, Dear Jim and Randall, who do you believe will be the next Supreme Court justice to retire?
Well, it's a good question. It's a good question. It's really not kind of a question for a legal answer, but I think that...
Well, you can give a legal opinion.
I'm going to give an opinion. I mean, I can give an opinion on based on my many years of accumulated ignorance.
Yes.
And the opinion has no meaning.
Whatsoever.
And it actually has no sense. But however...
But you can take
a Supreme Court today, Justice Stevens is the oldest, and he may choose to retire, although he looks like he wants to hang in for a while.
Yeah, he likes the job.
We know Justice Ginsburg has just had a little bout with cancer, although they seem to have been successful. But she might have a reason to get out. My understanding is Justice Souter would like to go back to his little old shack in Kahukahawa, Hawaii, only he lives in Vermont.
Right.
And is anxious to go back to a sort of a private, quiet life. So he's a possibility. That's all I can figure out. The rest seem to be relatively
stable
and in good health. So,
so there you go.
Okay.
That's a good answer. I thought that was a very good answer for a guy that has no opinion.
That's right.
John from Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana. Dear Jim and Randall, if I am struck by a piece of... Where do these people get these questions?
I don't know.
If I am struck by a piece of a U.S. satellite that is returning to Earth, it's a good thing, John, because if you were struck in space, it would be a different problem.
Hey.
Okay, he's in his backyard, and this satellite returns to Earth, and he's struck by it. He wants to know if he can sue the agency that owns the satellite.
Well, you know, I got to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the answer to that. Governments are immune from suit, but of course they've waived that immunity. You could probably go to the United States Court of Claims and put a claim in.
Right.
Now, when you say, see, I noticed that the question says when it's returning to Earth.
To Earth.
About a collision. Now, if it's a collision,
that's different.
You got to prove who's negligent.
Right.
If either side, the one who caused the collision is liable.
Right. So if it runs into a Russian satellite, you got a problem.
You got to sue in Russia, probably, if it's the Russians' fault.
Right.
If it's our fault, maybe you could sue us.
Well, what if it's just floating there and it runs? You know, they come out of orbit sometimes. They run out of
steam. Let me say this to John from Gary, Indiana.
Please.
What do you worry about a thing like this for?
Are
you out of your mind? Worry when you cross the street. You could get hit by a car. You're worried about some satellite, a piece that's going to fall off and whack you in the head? If it does, call a lawyer. That's what you do.
Are you kidding?
See a lawyer.
You won't have to call. They'll be lined up in front of your house. Are you kidding?
That's right.
You'll have to put up that yellow tape to keep them back. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, thanks for your question, John.
Right.
Milton from Washington, D.C.
Don't write again, John.
Call us only when the thing lands on your house.
Right.
Okay, Milton from Washington, D.C. writes, Dear Jim and Randall, my attorney has suddenly passed away. Well, I'm sorry, Milton. And he was managing an estate lawsuit for me. What should I do?
Well, it's really quite simple. You have to get another lawyer. The lawyer who you get will file papers to ask for extensions of time if they're necessary. If there are some deadlines that cannot be met because of the death of your lawyer, and your lawyer's office will turn over the file to the new lawyer, you will sign something that authorizes that to be done. And as a matter of fact, that it happens very, very often. People do die, even lawyers.
Right.
So
okay. Well, that's a good answer. Hank from Butte, Montana writes, Dear Jim and Randall, we get questions from all over the place.
Of course, we should.
Can the government designate some of my property as a national park? And if so, am I entitled to compensation?
The answer is yes to both questions. Yes, if the government can take property for a public purpose. That's an old story. And they can't, but however, they cannot take it without just compensation paid to the what we call the condemnee. Under eminent domain, the theory of eminent domain is the sovereign can take property, but they must pay you for it. And that's in the Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution, which say, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation.
There you go.
And you can go to court if you don't think the compensation they're giving you is enough. You can bring the case, and the trier of fact will decide what it's worth.
Okay.
So the answer to both is yes.
Okay.
And good luck.
All right. Yes, good luck, Hank, out there in Butte, Montana.
Right.
Mary from Chicago, Illinois writes, Dear Jim and Randall, do you believe that students who qualify to carry a concealed weapon should be allowed to do so in an effort to protect themselves because it's obvious that colleges cannot?
Well, first, I don't know that they're entitled, they're qualified to carry a concealed weapon.
Right.
Some of the, it may be that you can, you're a student old enough to get a pistol permit or whatever you've got to get in the, again, in the jurisdiction in which you are. They vary from in all the 50 states. But if you're in a college, the college might have rules and say you can't carry any weapon on the campus.
Likely they do.
Despite the fact that you may have a pistol permit or a permit for a concealed weapon and what have you. So the answer to your question is equivocal, which it has to be.
Right.
My own opinion is not important. I don't believe one way or the other, but you'd have to look into the situation that would be a would apply in the school, in the jurisdiction in which the question comes up. Okay?
Okay, good. Good answer. We have a question that came in over our website. It says, my question deals with being charged for freight. I went to a dealer to purchase an attachment, this is a little story here, for a garden tractor, and he didn't have one. He didn't have it in stock. So I asked him to order it for me. He said he couldn't order it until Monday. That was Saturday. So I said, go ahead and order it, and did not receive a purchase order from him at the time. Or ever, in that matter. In the meantime, I checked around and found someone who had the attachment I was looking for. So Monday afternoon, I called the first dealer and told him to cancel the order. He had not, he had no sign posted in the shop to say that there was a freight charge. Anyway, it seems to me that he ordered a part, he found it someplace else, he called the guy to say, I'd like to cancel my order. And his question is, the dealer's charging him for the freight because the dealer ordered the part. Does he have to pay the freight?
Well, he's probably lucky the dealer doesn't ask him for the full price of the item. You know, we get used to this country where we buy something and then we take it back. Now, if it's defective, we have every right to. Mm-hmm. But other than that, when you buy something, when you've paid the price for it and it's delivered to you, you owe the money. I mean, excuse me, the sale is complete. You don't have a right to have it undone. Now, in this particular case, you have a situation in which the dealer relied on you saying, go ahead, and he ordered the thing.
Right.
Yes, he is entitled to the freight. He is entitled to what damages he receives for your breach of the contract. You see, not every contract has to be a lot of words and writing.
Right.
There
That's
are
right.
what we call unilateral contracts. There are oral contracts, that is, contracts that can and should and are anticipated to be performed within a year, and that's what happened here. So really and truly, you are liable to the fellow.
All right. Well, that takes us right up to this week's Simon Hart Award. This week's Simon Hart Award goes to an employee of the McLean Investment Firm. It appears that while he was trading some music with some like-minded users on the online file-sharing network LimeWire, on his computer, his company computer, he inadvertently opened the private files of his firm, Wagner Resources Group, to the public.
Our information has it that he exposed the names, dates of birth, and social security numbers of about 2,000 of the firm's clients, including a number of high-powered lawyers and Supreme Court Justice Stephen G. Breyer. A spokesman for Breyer said the justice had no comment and could not make up his mind on what to do.
His mind must have been so full of things he has to decide at the Supreme Court.
If there is a judge, you can't make a decision.
Yeah.
I mean, is it crazy?
Yep. Well, it's time to introduce our crack crew. Our orchestra leader, Professor Stanley Staccato.
Our meteorologist, Gail Force.
Our sports reporter, Crash Dugenhausen.
Our studio engineer, rollicking Randy Meyer.
Our producer, Chris Confounded-All Cartwright.
Our sound effects specialist, Horatio Heart Attack Wingate.
Our technology advisor, Miss Laverne Lazarino.
Our legal advisor, Sir Edward Flaubusham III.
Our hair and makeup specialist, Miss Georgia Petras.
Our medical advisor and professor of proctology, Dr. Seymour Guts.
Our director of impressionism, Mademoiselle Camille Au Contraire.
Our Italian limo driver, Mario Just-In-A-Time.
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 Each week he gets us to the studio.
Just-In-A-Time.
Well, folks, you've survived another hour on Lawyers Who Needs Them. We hope you had a good time. Have a great week. Be kind to your neighbor. And remember, no matter what happens, don't sweat the small stuff.
And remember, folks, it's all small stuff.
That's all, folks.